anxious to step through the gate again, Major?
Yes, I am.
We all are.
Would you like us to bring back anything special?
No, thanks.
Groceries, new outfit, flatware?
No. Just yourselves in one piece, please. Dial it up. You're safe.
Welcome to the Jumping Puddles podcast. Be sure to listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and or YouTube. And follow us at Jumping Puddles Podcast on Tumblr and Instagram, and Jumping Pud Pod on Twitter. If you want to support our podcast, please check out our Ko-fi. Hi, I'm Sam, and with me are my fellow co-hosts, Tor and Ash.
Hey!
Hi! And today we are discussing Critical Mass. The Gould have infiltrated Atlantis and planted a bomb on the base. Time is precious as the team tries to find the saboteur, disarm the bomb, and somehow keep Atlantis hidden from two approaching Wraith cruisers.
Dun dun dun!
Hey! That wasn't so bad! That wasn't too bad!
So, this episode
is one of my favorite. Sam was just like, why?
I am so excited to hear your thoughts on it, actually, because I don't know if I ever remembered this episode. I feel like this is one of those episodes that I was just like, oh, it's Critical Mass. I don't know what that one is anyways. However, upon rewatch, I liked it more. Don't love it, though. And I don't know why, but I'm excited to hear why. You love it so much. So I can get some insight, genuinely. I'm curious.
Yeah, I hope I can provide that. But before we begin, I guess there's no good moment to mention it, but I'm just going to start us off on a tangent. You know, on Tumblr, I'm doing this Elizabeth Weir daily thing where every day I post a photo of Elizabeth Weir. And at one point, I posted a photo. It's like she's sitting at her desk, and it's a side profile. And I was like, why does this look like she's the principal and like she's about to scold some people, like some students? And then I came up with like a 10, 15 years into the future idea when Atlantis is like, of course, an independent colony, and people started having children, and the Athosians are still there, and like they have children there now, and they're like, yeah, we might have to start a school or something and start teaching their kids stuff. So I was like, hey, this is such a cool idea. And of course Elizabeth would be principal because like she's the leader of the whole expedition. And so I started thinking about who would like how it would work, because I think it would work differently. Like, everybody can go to school. Everybody can just like sign up to go to classes if they want to. But also, like, everybody can sign up to teach classes. And so everybody can just do whatever. And it's going to be a lot more like, I don't know, practical, like the stuff that they need. For example, I thought, and that's the reason why I started thinking about this at the beginning of this episode, I thought that Radek would teach and would like to teach. He pretends that he hates children, and it probably looks a lot of times that he hates children, but actually he loves them, and he's a really good teacher, I think. So he would be doing a lot of science stuff, and I feel like Elizabeth would also like teach ancient. Maybe there would be a bunch of language classes, because like it's such a multicultural expedition that like just a lot of people would teach like different languages, or people would sign up for different languages. And what else did I come? Oh, Lauren would teach art, of course, and like Taylor would do something either like meditation and self-defense, and Katie Brown would do biology, and I don't know, stuff like that. Anyways, that's an idea I had.
Okay, first of all, so many things just to say off that. I love this idea. First of all, I want to say, though, how a little bit of a spoiler for Universe, but it's kind of funny how Elizabeth is so similar to Camille. Because yes. I believe in season two episodes, I'm not going to say which ones, but Camille, there's a whole thing with Camille, and she becomes like a school teacher, right? Kind of thing. Or is she like a principal? Or is she like the mayor? Or something like that.
Yes! Yeah.
So I was like, oh my god.
Yes. Okay, this is another tangent, but I feel like, do you think they would get along?
Well, I was going to say, I was like, I don't know. I was going to say, I was like, is that a crack ship or not? I was like, I don't know.
Okay, I think, like, in the beginning, they wouldn't. Because Camille is very, like, she's so convinced that the IOA is doing the right thing and that they are always right and they should be, like, listened to. And Elizabeth has a bunch of issues with the IOA. So I feel like they would be bumping heads there. But I feel like at some point, like, it depends where, like, in what universe we put them. But I feel like when Camille, like, some of, like, Camille would probably come around at some point and realize, like, oh, maybe they're not always right. And maybe, like, you have to consider, like, the circumstances a bit more. And then they could work things out.
You know, okay, again, we're going to probably cut this all out. But I was going to say, I was like, but here's the thing. I was like thinking, I was like, okay, like, I think they could be friends eventually. I don't know if I could see them romantically. But then I was thinking, I was like, what would she work with Taylor? Who would work better with Taylor, you think? Camille? I don't know what I call her Cammy. Camille or TJ?
I definitely go for TJ.
This is so random. I know this is like what a
I know.
What a waste of this episode. But I'm just like, because I'm thinking, I'm like, because Camille's too similar to Elizabeth. And then I was like, yes. But is TJ too similar to Taylor? Like maybe Vanessa and Taylor would work better.
Ooh.
James and Taylor.
No. I have to think about it. Like,
yeah. This is we can think about this later. Because then
so random. But maybe, yeah.
Maybe like Elizabeth and Park.
Oh my goodness!
Okay. Anyways.
I feel like Park would definitely, like, she would teach Elizabeth how to have fun, because Elizabeth is so unable to do that and, like, to unwind and everything. And I feel like Park knows how to do that. So, that is fun. That is fun. Anyways.
I like that a lot. Also, Taylor Elizabeth Park, but that's just time for another day. Because Taylor would also be so deaf. Anyways, what I was going to say, back to the original tangent, was, oh yes, I loved how you put everyone as teachers. I love that. I think it's perfect. And I was also going to say, I think John and Ronan would be like the Eagle Scout, like, leaders, would be like the teaching, like, survival, you know, tips or whatever. They'd be the ones to be like, all right, kids, we're going to the mainland today. And they'd like teach the kids how to survive and how to surf and stuff. I feel like they would double as, like, you know, like Eagle Scout leaders, whatever. And then also like the PE, like the physical ed teachers.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
They would be a duo. Like, you can't separate them. They'd both teach because they both are, like, good cop, bad cop. But, like, insane cop and insaner cop.
Yes. Yeah.
As someone who works in the school system, they definitely have PE teacher vibes to a T. Absolutely.
Great.
That was perfect. We figured that out. If anyone ever needs that for a thing, you got it. I was going to say, though, since we started talking about Zelenka and kids, I love the intro so much for a number of reasons. I think this episode, one thing I appreciate about this episode is how it sort of name drops and ties in to a lot of what the season has established so far and kind of what early Atlantis has established as well. Like, just having this little kids mention, right? Having Cadman in this episode, like, there's just a lot of tie-ins, and I think that is great for just continuity's sake. I love that Link is going to go help out the kids. I think that's great. And I just love, again, it's such a little makeshift moments are great in this episode as well. And I'm just so obsessed with how just like married makeshift are. They're just so on the same like wavelength while they're teasing Zelenka. They're just like both in it. And then Rodney's little finger gesture, whatever, and then John copies Rodney just to piss him off even more, and Zelenka's just like cussing them both out at the end. I think that's great. I love when they team up to gang up on someone.
Yeah, I really dig the Rodney, John, and Zelenka dynamic, and I kind of wish we saw it a little bit more. I think we see it a little more in season 4 at the end. But they're just so funny, and like, I feel like it's always 2-on-1. Like, two of them will team up to bully the other one, which is great. I also like when Rodney and Zelenka team up to bully John. That's also a really fun combination. But yeah, I'm glad we had to see that in this episode. Even their little conversation on the little skywalk there right after, when they're talking about wanting the weekend off, was so funny. I was like, what are you guys gonna do, like race RC cars in the basement, play on your little computer game? It was really cute.
So I kind of just want to jump off the deep end here. Let's get all the hard shit all out of the way. The gold. How do we feel about them this episode? Because I'll say this, I figure out, like, right, like, what is it about this episode that I do not resonate with? Like, I really am not sure. And I think one of the things I pointed out as, like, a maybe is that the gold are here. Because I guess to me, I was already over the gold by, like, season 5. I think a lot of people can admit that they overstayed their welcome in SG-1. I think season 6 through 8 should have been another villain. I know they had Anubis, but I'm not going to touch that right now, because that would be hours more. And so I think I appreciate it for tying it back into SG-1, but I also feel like it's so strange to tie it back to the gold in a season that's supposed to be running concurrently with season 9, where, like, the Ori are, like, the main threat. And I guess in a way it does kind of still tie in, because they do, you know, have issues with, like, the trust and whatever, and, like, Ball is still there and stuff. But you know, I feel like maybe the reason why I don't love this episode is just because it sort of feels like a step back, maybe, for me with the gold. Like, I was thinking, I was like, maybe I would have appreciated it more if they managed to tie in the Ori into this. I think that would have been really cool. Try to again establish that, like, both the teams are fighting, like, their own wars in different, you know, galaxies. And again, considering how, like, the Ori are so tied into, like, the ancients, like, they literally used to be ancients, like, they are never, you know, they stay to their shows, which is fine, but I would have liked some more overlap, especially when they basically have, like, you know, they share the same blood, like, basically the same villain almost. So yeah, I don't know. I think, I don't know if I loved the gold plot.
Yeah, it's complicated. I have complicated feelings. Like, I think, I can't remember. Do you guys remember the episode? That was season 7 when they had, like, the trust, the big trust episode in SG-1, right? With, because I think Jonas was there with Sam. They were on Earth.
Right, well, because they do have, like, a lot of the trust stuff, like, yeah, with Pete, and then there's the one Nightwalkers where, like, the ghoul take over the town. Oh, right, is that not,
yeah,
the trust?
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's it. Doesn't Sam get, like, kidnapped by the trust or something? Or she gets kidnapped? Right, is that the one with Pete? I don't fucking know. But I do know there is a lot of trust stuff in season 9 as well.
Yeah, and isn't, I'm not sure, but is Ball like working with, like he was working with the Treskel, right? Yeah. Because he's on Earth and hot.
Sexy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about it. I feel like what it says about our characters is interesting. Like, I like the fact that John says, like, he read the SG-1 mission reports. Like, that was pretty interesting. And that's, like, that's how he knows about the Goa'uld. Because I was, like, when John was talking about the Goa'uld, I was, like, how do you know about them? Like, what do you mean? And then he said, like, oh, yeah, I read the report. So I was, like, oh, interesting. Like, you were actually curious about the team. And I wonder, like, what time he went back to read that stuff. Like, if he read it when he accepted the job, like, while he was on Atlantis after a bit, because, like, all the wacky shenanigans. He must have been like, my team, how's it possible that my team goes through all this crap? And then looked at SG-1's reports and were like, oh, okay, never mind. I guess it's not just me. Yeah, so, like, I thought that was interesting. And, like, kind of what it said about the Atlantis' relationship with Caldwell was also interesting, because, like, I think in the beginning they just straight up assumed it was Caldwell, like they didn't assume it was a Goa'uld possessing him, right? And then they realized that he was being possessed after. So like the fact that they don't trust him, or they were like so ready to throw him under the bus, was really interesting to me. Not that I blame them. And also the question of how long Caldwell was possessed for is super interesting, because like, how long has he been possessed? Like, have we seen him already be possessed in Atlantis episodes? Or, like, what's going on? So, like, that part was cool. But, yeah, it's definitely a we've been there and we've done that sort of villain callback, for sure.
Yeah, I definitely see what you two mean. I think what I think is interesting about this episode is that it's technically a crossover, but it's like the two worlds, Atlantis and SG-1, like Atlantis and the SGC, they almost completely separated. So we don't see one character go from Earth to Atlantis or the other way around. They stay, they work separately, and then for a short while, Daedalus acts as like a relay station between them, so they can kind of communicate. But then at some point, Daedalus just flies back, and at that point, Earth is just completely out of the loop, which I thought was really fun. like, oh shit, okay. So it's kind of odd to see them operating not in sync, I feel like, because they were just like, they're so far away, and they have no way to communicate because Atlantis can't dial Earth, and Earth has no way to reach Atlantis. No, but I also feel like this episode is extremely fast-paced. Like, things are just happening so quickly, and so much is happening in such short time that I think, God, not really a tangent, but I think that this is the reason why I used to forget the mid-season two-parter, is because this episode kind of stood out to me. And so much is happening that I kind of made it a mid-season two-parter in my head, which isn't true because it's one episode and it's not, yeah, it's not a mid-season two-parter. But I feel like it could have been, or at least it could have been a two-parter. I think they could have stretched a lot of things out more, not in an annoying way, but in a way that made things seem more important. Like, for example, the interrogations, I feel like they could have been a lot more and less jumping to conclusions if they had more time. The Goa'uld didn't bother me, I think. I thought it was, and I didn't think it was too weird. Actually, I kind of liked that they tried to link SG-1 and Atlantis, like in that little thing. And it made me try to remember what was happening at Earth at the same time. Because although I wanted to, I've never watched the two shows at the same time, like at the time where they kind of aired. So when they were going parallel. But yeah, so I kind of like that they brought that up. But I also see some points when she says that it's kind of annoying that they didn't bring the aura in this. So I feel like maybe they were trying to do like a blast from the past for this episode. For me, it works because I kind of like the gold and I get like certain gold. But I see, like, if you want Atlantis to be, like, a separate thing, then it's kind of like, why are you bringing this up again? But as I said, for me, it worked.
Yeah. Well, though, I was going to say, too, going off of what Tor said about how, like, oh, yeah, like, it had interesting parts, right? Because then we're stuff wondering, like, oh, how long has Caldwell been a gold and stuff? But that's the thing I think that frustrated me about this episode, too, is it just, like, ends. And we don't ever see Caldwell again, or do I don't remember when he comes back.
But he comes back, right?
Yeah, I think so.
He comes back in The Long Goodbye, which I think is in two episodes.
Mm.
Okay. And is he in, like, season 3 or 4 or 5? Yeah. Is it just this season?
He is a lot in season 3. In 9 episodes. Oh no, and a few he's just mentioned. So he's in 6 episodes, and he's also in a few, few episodes in season 4 and 5.
Okay. Because that's my thing, though. They don't really ever, explain it, though, I think, with him, right? Like, it's not like we get, like, a, oh, yeah, like, I was possessed from this point to this point, and that's why I was acting like an asshole. Like, he acted kind of the same. Like, you'd think that's just Caldwell, and that's the thing I think that kind of leaves me frustrated about is, like, oh, if they had, like, done this, like, super, like, you know, trick move where it's like, oh, yeah, this whole season actually wasn't Caldwell, like, and that's why he was acting, like, extra bitchy and extra, like, suspicious or whatever. But yeah, that's just Caldwell. Like, that's just his personality. And so it kind of just feels like they're like, oh, like, let's make him the gold. And then they just don't do anything with it. Like, he just comes back, like, everything's chill. Or I guess they took it out of him. And
I think they mention in one of the next episodes that, or like, he brings it up that he has to regain the trust or something.
In The Long Goodbye, I think it's weird. Like, they don't like, they have conflict because, like, he's trying to, like, hunt John down in that episode, I'm pretty sure. And Rodney's like, can you, like, not do that? Because I think, like, the tensions are still high from this episode. Like, they still are, they're not on that level of trust with him. But I feel like at the same time, they were never on a good level of trust with Caldwell. So, like, I can't tell how much of that is the Gould situation and, like, how much of that is just not liking anybody outside of the circle of Atlantis personnel. But, yeah. We'll see, I guess, when we get to that episode.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that episode at all either. Okay. Well, yeah, I guess we'll get there and we'll see how it plays out. But I think that's my thing, too, is that I wish it had... If they had planned this whole thing, we're like, oh yeah, he's going to be the gold this whole time. Like, I wish they had managed, or, like, you know, made the effort to, like, make a distinction and make it be like, oh, okay, who is this guy? Or, like, make more of a note to be like, okay, you know, he was possessed. It could happen to anyone or whatever. I feel like they do this and they're just like, all right, and they just move past it. Which isn't, you know, that's usually my complaint with a lot of things in Atlantis in general.
Yeah. I mean, the Gould, by now we have established that they can, like, take over a body and, like, not make themselves known. So they have control of a body, but they are still acting like the person did before. So I guess that's kind of what they were going with, that he was just hiding the whole time and just, like, maybe that's why Coldplay was like the ideal target for the trust, because they know he's not well liked and has his issues with Atlantis and with Elizabeth and the whole AR team. So it wouldn't really, like, even if the Guild would be a little bit more, I don't know, eccentric or annoying or annoyed by the team, then it wouldn't really, it wouldn't make a difference because they don't like him anyway. I'm just making excuses, yeah. Maybe, yeah, but...
No. That's true. I think, you know, no. I think that's very true. You know, and I think that kind of just makes me just kind of, I guess, it's just my complaint then is just like there's just not enough consequences, I think. Like then, yeah. I think like if you use that kind of like argument, my thing is just kind of like what was the point of it all then, right? Like then what was the point to like I don't see any, like if you take this part out of the story, like it kind of does nothing. Like it, like it's not like they like install like an anti-gold like device that everyone has to use, so like that they don't take anyone over ever again, or it's not like the gold ever. No, they do. No, that's their charades. Like they don't ever come back to Atlantis. Like that's my thing. I think at the end of the day, it's like the lack of like consequences, or just like the lack of progressing the story forward, especially like in a season that's kind of felt very aimless in terms of like its overarching plot. I think that's why I just have such a hard time sort of like seeing this episode. But I will say, I was gonna say I actually really like the intensity though. I think it's a great change of pace, especially from last episode where it's very like John losing his mind for 45 fucking minutes, right? I feel like what I do appreciate about it is it just jumps in and you're just like in it for the whole time. You're like, holy shit, this is getting really intense. And again, by the time you get to the climax of like Taylor singing and like them about to torture bitches, it goes hard. Like I will say, like honestly, I feel like if you remove the gold plot, this would have been the same episode. Like the gold is nothing. It could have been like someone planted a bomb and it's like, who is it? Kind of thing. Maybe a wraith worshiper snuck in, disguised itself as an Ethosian, I don't know. Just like pull some shit out of your ass. Or like an Ori did something and the ancients stopped and whatever. But the intensity is great. I really love it. And I think it stands out because there's not many episodes I feel like that move this quickly.
I feel like
I thought it was almost too quick sometimes. Like, as I said, I wish I had expanded on a few scenes there. But...
yeah. I feel like in terms of the storyline with the Guild, they wanted to make a statement, like a moral statement. Like, at the beginning, they kind of framed this episode at the start with the Wraith infighting again. So they bring up the fact that the Wraith are fighting each other. And then throughout the episode, like, because of the bomb threat, suspicion is causing them to, quote-unquote, turn on each other and be suspicious of one another. And then Elizabeth makes a comment bookending the episode at the end, saying, like, oh, like, we're as bad as the Wraith. Like, we're also infighting. But I feel like it's not that... it wasn't, to me anyways, in the episode, it wasn't that serious. Like, they all hate Kavanaugh, so they just happened to, like, be fighting with Kavanaugh. And, like, he was really the only one that they ever, like, fight with. Like, in terms of...
except Rodney, who he'd beef with Catman.
True.
That was personal.
True, that was really personal. That was super personal. But, yeah, I don't know, like, I just felt like maybe if there was more of a tension on the base, like the Ethosians were still living there or something, and the Atlantis personnel were like suspicious of the Ethosians, or like like you had still had Bates, who was like super against Taylor still, or you know. But I just felt like the supposed infighting was just everyone hates Kavanaugh, and like that's understandable, you know. You know what I mean? but yeah, I mean, I get the point, because that's not even like the bad thing about what they were doing in this episode. I think the real moral thing was like everybody was so ready to commit a war crime. Like everyone was so ready to torture information out of a prisoner so fast with no evidence. Like that is more of the moral issue, I think, in this episode than say like, well, we were fighting each other, we don't get along, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, yeah, again, it would, I stand by what I said earlier. It would have been better if it had been a two-parter. But also, just quickly, what Sam said, that it doesn't really progress the story. I don't mind that much. I'm a fan of, like, a mix of overarching plot and, like, quote-unquote, filler episodes. Which is like having fun or solving a problem like Alien of the Week or like Monster of the Week, whatever. Issue of the Week. So I didn't mind that much. But I do like that it kinda like what Tor said about the moral of the episode, that they try to keep in, or like at least Elizabeth keeps in mind that, like, yeah, we're not as flawless. We, like, yes, we also have issues among each other, and maybe that just because we hate that guy, it shouldn't mean that we can do whatever. And like, oh my gosh, she threw away his principles so fast. Like, she's been corrupted so bad by the boys. I'm gonna say the boys.
Yeah, well, no, I was going to say then, so again, I get it, like, I totally, and I appreciate, like, they try to make a point, and it doesn't have to be, like, this crazy, like, huge, like, Wraith plotline, like, anything tying into the story, I would take, but, again, there's no impact, I think, and I think, again, like, the point they try to make, like, the moral point, which is, like, oh, like, we're not as bad, or, like, we can't go that far, or whatever, or, you know, like, can't fight within each other. Like, it does nothing. Like, there's nothing. There's no impact at all. It's not like after this they're like, oh, okay, yeah, like, not as bad as they're, you know, like, we saw what they did to Michael. Like, you know, like, that's in a few episodes. Like, there is no, they make a point and they, like, leave it next episode. Like, I think, like, just none of it is landing for me. Like, I just don't, none of it's sticking for me. I see what they're trying to do, but it's just, it doesn't work for me. Like, I wish that they had, like, I don't know, like, I think it is interesting, right, to be like, okay, like, again, like what Tor was saying, like, maybe if they had, like, all started fighting each other, right, and then at the end been like, okay, yeah, like, no, we have to stick together, and then, like, moved past, you know, this as well. But again, it also would have been, I think, jarring as well, because this comes off the back of Epiphany, which is, Epiphany is so, like, guys, we're a team, like, you know, like, we're like, okay, wow, like, look at the end, like, you know, John being like, oh, I missed you, and then being like, ha ha ha, you know, they kind of shrugged it off a little too easily, but, you know, we get that iconic team shot and all this stuff, and so I think it would have been, I don't know, if it would have been kind of jarring just to go from, like, the team, like, having, like, a, you know, we save John and all this, they go, I get to here, and they're all, like, fighting, you know, like, I don't know. It's just, yeah, it's just not clicking for me.
I don't know. I'm thinking, like, in my head, maybe what, I'm giving the writers too much credit as what I'm probably doing, but I feel like they were setting it up for, like, the Michael war crime that happens at the end of the season. Like, they're, like, showing you sort of the depths of depravity that they can reach with no remorse, like, feelings about it. Like, I feel like Elizabeth herself and sort of insinuates torture to Kavanaugh even before she talks to John and Ronan, and then John and Ronan reinforce that idea. And then she's like, okay, well, they're saying it too. So I guess this is our only option at this point, which I don't blame her for. But then at the end, she feels guilty about it. And what does John say? John is like, who cares? Nobody got hurt. It's fine. Whatever. Like,
who cares? Didn't actually torture him.
You said we should, but like, we didn't actually get to do it. So like, who cares that nobody got tortured? Like, whatever. So I think that sort of ending sets them up for the terrible Wraith experimentation and stuff in their cavalier attitude about their war crimes. But I don't really know if that was meant to be explicit or like I'm just reading into the text. You know, because it's a part of John's character to kind of just be like, eh, it's fine. Everything worked out in the end. We're cool. Like to be like the Joe Cool guy with his slutty desk lean that he did in this episode so many times. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, I like that part. I think that's fun. Like, yeah, leaning into the whole, like, how, like, quickly they rushed into torture was kind of crazy. Actually, we can kind of talk about this, too, because I think Kavanaugh is such a fascinating character in this episode. Like, wow, they really wrote the perfect incel character. That's crazy. Did they? Like, wow, did they know that? I wonder if they knew that. They kind of nailed that spot on the head, because there's a point in the beginning, in the first interrogation, where Elizabeth's talking to him, and she's like, oh, you know, like, basically saying, like, oh, like, she's trying to be like, oh, we don't suspect you, or she's trying to be like, you know, or he's thinking, like, oh, so I'm a suspect, and she's like, yeah, but she's like, she's trying to downplay, she's like, you are, but like, his other people are talking to you too. It's like, no, bitch, he's your number one, right? Like, that's your guy. But she's like, no, you're not the only one. And he goes on this little sad rant that it's like, he's like, you know, like, I left Atlantis, I didn't have any friends, no one respected me, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, that's kind of sad. I was like, that's true. I was like, he did have no friends, no one liked him here. I was like, aw. And then he turned it around and like went on this giant, like, rant and blamed Elizabeth for everything, and like he flipped it into such, and I was like, wow, like, that's crazy, he is such an insult, like, that is crazy, like, he really flipped and started like gaslighting and all this stuff, like, he really kind of like lures you in and being like, oh, you are kind of like lonely and you do have no friends, and then he just like flips it up on her, and I think he says some really, I'm sure, remember what he says.
Oh man, he says like the typical man thing. He's like, you're driven by emotion and not logic, yeah. And you're not strong enough to be the leader.
Are you telling me that you're not driven by emotion? Like, not even that it's a bad thing, but like, take a look at yourself, man. Like, everything, like, you are so vile, you're so spiteful, and what is that if not an emotion? He's so silly, like, what the fuck?
No, he's the worst. He's the worst, and I think it's just perfect. Like, it's, like, terribly perfect how he flips it on her.
Yeah.
Like, literally luring her and being like, oh, I'm so lonely, I'm so sad, I have no friends, and then being like, it's your fault. Like, own up to your mistakes, loser, right? And so I think, I don't know, I really liked it, I think. Or seeing him back is obviously a great callback as well, to see, like, season one and stuff. Again, I think it makes sense why they would suspect him. I think all the reasons they gave were, like, so valid, though, for being like, oh, he literally left Atlantis at this point, and then he came back right at this point. And when he's all like, oh, well, I texted some people to make sure they're okay. And she's like, you said he didn't have any friends. Like, he had some holes in his story. Like, I was sus of him, too. So I think it makes sense for them to go after him. And I personally haven't, you know, looked up any, like, I don't know, old reviews or whatever. But I do wonder, I'm sure there's men that love Kavanaugh. Or I'm sure there's people that love Kavanaugh. And I think, yeah, I could see them seeing this episode and being like, oh, look how Elizabeth was so mean to him. And it's like, oh. Because I think we get it.
I think you're right in that I feel like all people who don't like Elizabeth's character basically just said or feel what Kavanaugh said explicitly in this episode and how they're, like, really wrong. At least they're wrong in my eyes. Like, yes, Elizabeth feels emotion, but the whole reason that she's a good leader is that she knows when to put that aside and make decisions despite how she feels about them. Like, all those times that the team is like, oh, we gotta save John or whoever, and it's like a waste of resources, unfortunately, for one man. And she has to put those feelings aside and be like, yeah, we're friends, but at the same time, like, I'm responsible for 500 people besides this one guy, and we can't just go launch a rescue for him because I don't want him to die personally. So, like, yeah, the Kavanaughs of the world are very wrong about Elizabeth, in my opinion. And I'm glad that we got it explicitly in the show to see how, so people could see how dumb that perspective is.
It's funny. It's funny. It's amazing because it's so, like The Boys, right? Not that I've watched The Boys, but I know, like, people, like, the fandom has turned very, like, into what the show is making fun of. Very, like, far right. Like, you are literally what the show is making fun of. Like, why are you saying it's woke now? Like, it's been making fun of you since the first episode. Whatever. But that's how I feel like it is with this episode and with, like, Kavanaugh. Like, Kavanaugh is a fucking loser self-insert of all the fucking men that have been saying, like, shit about Elizabeth since day one. Like, they literally copy-pasted their arguments and gave him those lines. And it's, like, so funny to me because, like, the show is making fun of you. You know that, right? Like, you are ridiculous for saying those things. And the show literally smacks him upside the head and it's like, no, you stupid idiot. Like, it's your fault. Like, stop blaming Elizabeth for everything that goes wrong in your life. And I just think it's very funny that I've seen some people to this day, like, use those arguments and be like, oh, isn't Elizabeth a bad leader? Like, no. No. Yeah. Your opinion is wrong.
Like, I think, like, if you don't click with a character, that's fine. But that doesn't mean that they are, like, that everything they do is wrong. And I genuinely think that Elizabeth is a good leader. Like, if you don't like her character, okay. You're still, like, I don't know why, but okay. That's, like, everybody has a different, like, draws to different characters. That's fine. That's good. But I like to question her leadership abilities. I don't think you can. I think everybody makes mistakes and they are written in there for reasons. And, like, I'm sure I don't remember anything right now, but I'm sure there are things that are, like, yeah, there are definitely questionable decisions that she makes, but that's interesting. And it's interesting when she makes choices and, like, to say, oh, she's a bad leader, just like that. I don't think that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I also just think that, like, it's funny that people are like, oh, you're too emotional to Elizabeth. Because it's like, if anything, she's way too good at turning off her emotions. Like, what do you mean? If anything, they're like, oh, she's so mean to John, or like, oh, she's so, like, she's a dictator. And it's like, if anything, she's a pushover. What? Like, what do you, she's a fucking pushover. Like, that's the real complaint you have against her, right? Like, the way she lets all these people steamroll over her, and she just, like, falls into John and Ronan's evil war torture plans. Like, she's just like, all right, like, go ahead, I trust you. Girl, you should not be trusting. Don't trust.
No.
When Rodney is the only sane person in your group, you should be very worried. You should be terrified. Okay.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad that you brought that up because I'm like always the number one Rodney defender. But like that scene, he was literally the only one who was like shaking his head at the suggestion of torturing Kavanaugh. He was like, he actually says, I don't like him either. I think he's terrible, but like, I don't think we should torture him. I don't think that's the solution. And it's just, I was shocked, but also like, yeah, cool. I like this dynamic.
Like, it's just funny that people like use these arguments, and it's just like, if you watch the show, how can you like think that and watch the show? Like, genuinely. And I love that Rodney was like vocally and like being like, hey, this is wrong, or like this, like, I don't agree with this. And I'm sad that Taylor wasn't there, because obviously she was off doing her own little thing, which I do love. But I'm sure Taylor and Elizabeth and Rodney would have been like, this is a bad idea, because usually it's those two like against everyone else being all trigger happy. And so, yeah, poor Rodney. He also gets swept away. He just gets steamrolled. Like, you don't think Rodney can get steamrolled? He can.
My question becomes, like you were saying, there's a lot of compelling evidence against Kavanaugh in this episode. Like, what were the encrypted messages that he sent, and to who? Like, I really want to know. Actually, maybe I don't want to know what they were, but I do want to know.
Maybe he was just trying to, like, he forgot, like, his game. Like, one of his, like, he's playing a game or something. And he forgot, like, at his laptop or, like, the file somewhere in the Atlantis computer, and he tried to get it back. But it's a super embarrassing game. Embarrassing.
It was Mario Kart. It was an early version of Mario Kart.
Yeah, exactly.
He was like, I cannot lose this. He was like, this is not gonna be... No, it was Mario Kart.
Yeah. I don't know why.
Probably an ancient Mario Kart.
Oh my god.
I'm done. Sorry.
I want to know what characters are in ancient Mario Kart. Like, what do the characters look like? I need to know.
Morgan Le Fay. Morgan Le Fay is definitely one.
Oh my god. But is Merlin also one then? Or yes, like Janice? Yes. Oh god. Janice would be fun because, you know, yeah. Janice is like is a god. Like an ancient, I think, a Greek god, and he is like two-faced, and he is like beginning and end, and like death and life, and shit like that. So he would be a fun character because he probably would have like either two heads or two faces or something. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that's what Kavanaugh was trying like to somehow with his encrypted messages.
I like that better than my first thought, which was unsolicited dick pics, and I don't know if that was because of the incel vibes that he was giving in the interrogation room, or what the reason was that my brain went there, but it certainly went there, so I'm glad that...
he was like, quick, I gotta get that back before someone else finds it.
I feel bad for anybody who really had to decrypt that. Was subjected to that.
Gosh.
Hopefully it wasn't Rodney.
Oh.
It was Alenka.
Oh no!
Oh! Has he suffered enough in this episode?
No.
Oh no.
He like immediately went to his little bar and just took a few shots and then went back to finishing his work. He was just like, Zelenka's that guy. He puts it away and he moves on. He's like, I'm not going to deal with this today.
Yeah. But just to maybe come to an end on the Kavanaugh discussion, I also liked, yes, he was the first to be interrogated from what we can see. But I did like that they at least brought one other character up who was like, oh, he was kind of weird. Like, that he was acting weird, and there was Novak, that she said, like, when Elizabeth asked her if anybody had been, like, acting suspicious, he was like, oh, no, I can't think of anyone, and then she remembered Kavanaugh, who was, like, kind of, like, I guess he was just, like, always around, and, like, I don't remember exactly what she said, but like always kind of like looking over one's shoulder and like being kind of weird about shit. And I assume he would also be like criticizing everyone. So I like that there was like at least one shred of not evidence, but like a lead, at least that led towards him. That kind of fortified what they were accusing him of. Not good that it was an evidence, of course, but yeah, I like that. And I like Novak. She's just, I think she's one of my favorite side characters. She's just, I know she's there for comic relief, but she's so funny. I think this is the first time she shows up in Atlantis, but she, in SG-1, she was in, oh shit. She was in one episode of SG-1 before this, I think. But yeah, no, she's so funny. It's just hilarious to watch her. And like, yeah, she's comic relief, but just her and her hiccup and the way she talks to Elizabeth and being like super nervous and her calling her sir and then ma'am and then just like kind of freaking out. It's so funny to me. And I really like her, and I like her relationship with Hermione, also always very fun. Yeah. I was really glad they brought her back.
Is it terrible that I find her very relatable?
No.
I think like her nervousness and like her feeling guilty about talking badly about Kavanaugh was very relatable. And just really, she's really fun. I wish we saw more of her on Atlantis.
That was really sweet, actually. That, like, there's this guy that everybody hates. And, like, she noticed him because he was, I don't know what he was doing. Like, appearing suspicious. But immediately feeling bad about it. Even though, like, she, like, from probably what she's heard from everybody else and her own, like, limited experiences, she's like, oh, I don't want to talk bad about him. That's, she's a good character.
Yeah, no, I love Novak. She was in Prometheus Unbound, and then I want to say she was in an earlier episode of Atlantis. I want to say she popped up with Hermione in the beginning of season 2. When,
what, was it Intruder?
Carlo came to save the day. Yeah, I think it was Intruder. Or The Siege Part 3.
Oh, it might have been The Siege Part 3. Because I remember us having a discussion about the Daedalus and how it's really annoying that they are there now. And then we came up with the whole Hermione like walking around with a Hawaiian shirt and like hanging out with. Yeah, it was The Siege Part 3. Yes.
It's so funny, too, because Hermione is so, he doesn't even have to, like, meet the Atlantis team, and he's so Team Atlantis. I love that he's sassing the fuck out of Kavanaugh. He is not having it. And I'm like, he didn't even need to be told twice. No one even told Hermione, but he was like, I'm gonna do it for Elizabeth. I'm gonna do it for my team down there. Like, he really, he's a homie.
For his beach buddies.
I just find it really funny how Kavanaugh thought he was going to get away from Rodney Sass, and then he goes on the Daedalus and is literally confronted with the ultimate bitch boss, Hermione, and so it's just, like, there is no escape for him. Like, he was always going to get his shit rocked by somebody. And I'm really glad that Hermione got the honors in this episode. And speaking of awesome characters, I also really like Dr. Lee in this episode in the 5 seconds. My man, Dr. Lee! Okay, he is the funniest, most charming scientist in SG-1 history, I think. His little whiteboard and his little diagram, he's trying to explain to like all the jarheads what science is happening. He's like trying to relate it to some sort of pop culture reference so they get it. And his mind immediately went Disney. And nobody knew what the fuck he was talking about. So he was like, Lord of the Rings! Everybody knows Lord of the Rings! And that was just the best scene of the episode for me. Like, I was dying. He's the best.
So cute. Also, confirmation that he has kids, because he was like, oh yeah, my kids are something like, watched 101 Dalmatians the other day or something. And I was like,
you, oh shit.
I had no idea you were married and had kids? What?
No, yeah. that makes me cringe, though, because next season, Elizabeth has to do the honeypot with Dr. Lee. Remember?
Oh, yeah. Talking about World of Warcraft or something?
Yeah.
But, she wasn't trying to seduce him. She was trying to get him to talk about.
True. And he
went, okay, yeah, we're going to look at it like that.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I thought it was really sweet, because he would, I don't know. I can see it. I can see him as a dad, and just like, yeah. But I was cracking up at the Lord of the Rings reference, because I'm, like, it has calmed down a bit, but I was in a huge Lord of the Rings obsession and like brain rot. And then he just mentioned Lord of the Rings. I knew it was coming, and I was just like, oh yes, the fires, yes. Very good. Yeah, that was hilarious. In general, the cast of this episode was insane. They brought back so many characters, like not even only from Atlantis, but from SG-1 as well. Of course, Lee, but also Barrett. Not that I can take him serious anymore. But also, like Landry, and then in Atlantis, Catman, and Kavanaugh, and in SG-1 they brought even Walter got a quick like three words or something. It was like, this is insane, what the fuck is happening here? Hermione, like, they brought so many people back, and I really, really love that. And I think it added to the, like, to the fast tasteness of this episode, because every scene there was another character popping up that you were like, oh my god, I know you, oh I know you, oh I know you. Yeah.
How did we feel about Cadman in this episode? Because I know we had a lot of thoughts during Duet, so thoughts, feelings, Cadman wise?
I think it is rather unfortunate that I feel like she'll always just leave a bad taste in my mouth because of what happened with the last episode. Like, I look at her, I'm like, ah, oh, she's so pretty. And then I'm like, I remember what you did. And I think it doesn't help either that no one's taking Rodney seriously with how uncomfortable he feels. Again, it's kind of a joke that everyone's like teasing him, being like, ah, why are you so worried about it? It's like, why would he be worried about it? Huh? Why would he? Like, very, you know, of course he would feel weird. Anyone would feel weird. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? I love seeing everyone pop up. It was so much fun. And again, it just pulls the universe together, and you feel like, okay, this is like a lived-in universe with all these people that we know. Like, it makes sense for all of them to be there. It's not like just fan service. Like, it's genuine people that need to be there for this episode. And I'm happy that she got to show up again. And, you know, she's a bomb expert. Like, again, makes sense. But I just don't care for her, unfortunately. And I don't want her to show up. And I don't think she does ever. No. Does she? Oh. I low-key feel like this might be her last episode.
No, she's only mentioned a few times.
Yeah. So I think that was the best course. I think happy she got to come back. I don't know if there was any sort of resolution for her character or whatever. But I think it makes sense just to kind of get her out. I think it's hard to redeem her, really. Maybe this is going to sound so evil. Maybe she had like some sort of like heroic death. It would have maybe been, oops, sorry, get I know that went dark, down. But maybe it could have, like, I don't know, it could have had, like, a moment with, she's saving Rodney's life or some, I don't know what the fuck.
But, oh, that would have been good. I mean, she doesn't have to die, in my opinion, but
yeah, I mean, maybe she could have saved him and then like fucked off and like, yeah, I'm going back to Earth. I'm tired of this place. But I think it was just best for her to leave. She's unfortunate because I like her and Katie Brown. If they had scenes together, they were girlfriends. But that's about it.
I don't think I have strong feelings about her. Like, it was very unfortunate that nobody listened to Rodney and made fun of him for suspecting Cadman, because he had valid reasons. Like, she's a bomb specialist, so if someone planted a bomb, why not get a specialist to do it? And also her staying just like that. So it would have been nice to have him, like, at least someone listen to him, or at least like see her interrogated or something. But yeah, other than that, I don't really like thoughts or feelings about her.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same. I'm just kind of in the neutral zone in this episode. But the, like, really random lore drop of the fact that she can tap dance made me instantly think that they should have done a musical episode and she should have come back and done some tap dancing in that episode. That or, like, a talent show episode, I would have been down.
I was just gonna say talent show, yeah. Musical episode, yes, but also talent show. Like, Atlantis would do that.
Right, because we know Taylor can sing.
Oh, she wouldn't be allowed to sing because they would, like, after that, everybody would just be like, oh, after the first one or karaoke or something, Taylor would not be allowed to sing if other people were singing because nobody would dare to go after her.
Real, real. But I was going to say, I feel like it fits SG-1 to have a musical episode more.
Yeah.
But yes, it would have been kind of fun. They have a lot of,
like, yeah, they have, like, the silly episodes, like the,
More about Extreme, yes. 200,
Time with One.
Yeah.
Yeah, Atlantis.
I'm surprised SG-1 never did a musical. That's, like, mind-blowing. 10 seasons and then never did a musical is kind of crazy. So I don't know if it would have fit Atlantis's vibe. However, I would have loved if they did one just for the pure comedy of seeing everyone sing. I would love to hear David Hewlett's voice. And I think I would love whatever angsty ballad they gave Joe Flanagan. I would eat that up. The sad boy hours would be crazy. And even Tori, oh my god, Tori would be great having sort of like a reflective maybe song, like the last song at the end of the episode. She'd have sort of like the introspective and having like all the whole team sort of be like the big number, the first number, you know, kind of like dancing and having the really fun. But I also feel like talent show would fit the vibe a little more.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, how do we feel about Taylor this episode? Let's get into the Taylor and Carson stuff, because on one hand, I am so happy that they finally gave Taylor something to do. And it's actually, like, I think it's a pretty well put together plot. I think, you know, we get to see the Athosians again. We get to see more of her her family, I guess. Or this is like the last link, you know, of her family still alive, and then unfortunately she passes away, and we get this like really cool Athosian ritual, the singing, everything, her emotional journey. I like, again, how, you know, she could have pushed Carson to keep Charon alive, but she's like, no, you know, I have to respect her wishes, I want to let her go. And Carson's like, it's against my vow, side eye. But you know, he still in the end lets her, and he's respectful, and he is there with her while she's singing and while she's mourning. I think it's great, and I love their friendship moments. I think it's great. How do we feel about it in this episode, though? Because as neutral on it in this episode. Because I think it's a very interesting place. Very interesting story to place it with. And I low-key almost feel like it doesn't get, unfortunately, some of the gravitas that it kind of deserves. Because I think it's such an emotional episode. Or it's such an emotional, like, plot, B-plot. But it kind of feels a little weird to pair it with, like, such a high-stakes action episode. Like, I don't think it took away from the episode, but I think it could have been a lot more maybe impactful or maybe even memorable. I mean, I guess it is memorable because you got that iconic like montage of her singing, right? So that's a really cool part. But I also just feel like, I don't know. I'm just not sure if it had the emotional weight it could have had, right? If it was in another episode, or maybe I'm just like reading too much into it. But what do you guys think?
It's interesting that you mention it in a sense that does it fit in this episode? But also, I can't think of a moment where I was like, oh, this doesn't fit, or like, what the hell is going on here? So I feel like it kind of balances out. I feel like it kind of balances out all the action, all the tension, all the drama that is going on the base otherwise. Because all the scenes with her and Sharon and with Carson are kind of calm, kind of... There's this one super sweet scene in the beginning where they... Well, like, not exactly in the beginning, but somewhere where Carson is, I think he's drawing Sharon's blood, and he asks her and everything, and she, in the meantime, Taylor says, oh, guess what? I made food! And Sharon is like, oh no. And it's, yeah, I think just this very cute interaction of like, oh, actually your food tastes terrible. She says it's much nicer. But I think it's hilarious that canonically Taylor is a terrible cook. So I think that's sweet and brings a little bit of lightheartedness into the episode. But also it's very emotional for Taylor, because Sharon just enforces the things that I think she knew before, that she's meant to be the leader of the Orthosians and all that stuff. The only thing that I thought was missing maybe was a little bit of a link to the rest. I think it's nice that it was not just Taylor who was like Taylor and Sharon, that not but Taylor was not alone, completely alone off on this little B plot, but that Carson was there with her. But I sometimes wondered, what did the others know what was going on? Like, I think that's what I was wondering sometimes, that it's just like it felt so separated while all the shit was going on in like Atlantis and with the bomb and with the whole team. And then just, yeah, I guess there wasn't time for the rest of the team to like check in with her, but I think that's what I was missing a little bit. But still, I don't think that it doesn't fit the episode.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was a really big moment for her character, in the sense that it's almost like a coming of age, promotion sort of moment, where like she was always representative of her people on Atlantis, but now it's kind of become this bigger role. Like, not only is she their representative on Atlantis, but like she is gonna be their de facto leader now because their elder is gone. So I feel like that's a huge thing, and I kind of wish, maybe not in the initial episode, like this episode, but later on, in the series we had more of a sort of, like she said, the journey's just begun sort of thing. Like, we can see her growing into that role, maybe having problems with the mantle, whatever. Like, talking to Elizabeth about it, talking to Rodney about it, like, I don't know, something. A little bit of, like, an acknowledgement throughout the show, somehow incorporating it into the storyline, that she's this figure for head for her people now, instead of it being like, oh, the Ethosians go missing in, like, another season. And that's about all we get, right? But I just kind of liked that we got to see Taela have a life. Like, she became a person to me in this episode, really. Like, she had a family, and she had all this history that we got to finally see, which was really nice. And I think they did a good job of making Charon's death emotional in just one episode. Like, they really built up their relationship enough that I actually felt really sad when she was passing. And Rachel's performance during that scene in particular was so good. First of all, she's a pretty crier, so I hate her. But also I love her because it was a really great performance. and yeah, I think it's just it's a very human thing that she went through. So yeah. Yeah, overall I liked it, but I can see why the impact should have been bigger. I feel like it should have had more of an impact throughout the series, 100%.
Yeah. That's just always our criticism at the end of Atlantis, is the impact is just not there, bro. At some point, it's like, you should stop expecting it. But I'm like, no, I'm going to hold this show to a higher standard because I love it so much. But, as I said, yeah, I think what Ash mentioned earlier, I think it is just the link up. Because, yeah, I do, it's exactly what we wanted, I think, for Taela. A chance to kind of get her own plot episode, kind of ish, half of it. And it links back to the Ethosians, which is rare. We get insight into who she is, you know, and into their rituals and stuff, and, you know, all that's great. I was thinking, like, maybe if they just had sort of like, kind of takes away from the montage of her singing, though. But I was thinking, I was like, well, maybe if like all the team ended up showing up at the end at the funeral. That would have been a nice little moment. Although, I do like how this episode ended with John and Elizabeth talking, but maybe they could have had that talk and then could have gone, and they could have had like a moment of just like, maybe they're just putting their arms around, or like just, you know, being there for Taela, dressed up all like in their, you know, black and dark fits. That would have been really sweet, and just kind of a way to be like, we're here for you, we love you, you know, we're a team. Yeah, things were going on, you know, we almost lost the city, there was a bomb, but there is still time to mourn those we've lost and sort of just come together. And again, I think it could have reinforced the whole thing about like them being, or the moral of the story being like, you know, we can't let anyone tear us apart, and they do nothing with that. Like, I think it would have been fun if, yeah, I think it would have tied it in together if they had a little moment at the end of the episode. And yeah, it is rather unfortunate that she becomes the de facto leader of the Ethosians, and there's just nothing. She kind of just abandons them in canon, or in the show's canon. She just okay, like, literally does nothing, but whatever, that doesn't happen in our version, so I can live at peace in our little delusional world.
That's what we're here for. Also, wow, I almost started crying right just now. That scene, I can see it in my head, just, also, like, yes, I was trying to think of, like, who could have joined them, like, at the entering ceremony, which I love, by the way, that they have, like, I feel like there's so much lore about the Athosians that we just never really see. And I really love this one with, like, the ring ceremony with, like, the stones that represent the Rim of the Ancestors, the Stargates, and I was like, oh, this is so cool. And, but yeah, everybody was busy, which is so sad. I was thinking, oh, it would have been so sweet if Rodney was there. But then I remembered, no, Rodney was still trying to crack the code. Damn it. And Elizabeth and John and Ronan were trying to get the code. And so I was like, no, everybody is busy. Damn it. But yes. It would have been, like, of course, my Taylor Biff shipping ass was going into, like, afterwards, Elizabeth went to her and talked to her and apologized for not being there, but then they kind of, like, I don't know, maybe, yeah, have a drink to remember Charon. But yeah, it would have been really sweet to have the whole team there. And I was thinking of a group hug. Not that any of them, like, John is not a hugger, Rodney's not a hugger, but a group hug would have been really, really sweet. Just them being there.
I agree.
Yeah, I was gonna say too, I love the whole, like, the ring and, like, sort of like all the ritual parts of the Athosians. And I think it goes back to my favorite headcanon. That the Athosians were originally one of the ancients, like, other outposts, and that because of what happened with, like, the Wraith and stuff, that slowly but surely they kind of, I don't know, they just, I don't want to say devolved, but, like, you know, like, they just kind of forgot. I don't know how many generations and stuff, they just didn't realize, you know, yeah, I guess forgot that they, you know, were descended from the ancients. I think it's so interesting. I think that just adds an extra level of fun lore, because every time they do show these rituals and stuff, it's like, oh my god, but then these are, like, this was just stuff the ancients did. And I think one little piece of canon that I always use to justify my little head canon is in the early episodes, when Taylor has that little fire shit thing that, like, just starts fire. She's like, we've mastered fire long ago. I'm like, I don't know why. I'm like, that's just giving me such ancient vibes. And so, yeah, I like to think that. And it just adds, like, an extra, yeah, just an extra level of detail for whenever they do the rituals and stuff. It's just like, oh, this isn't just, like, a separate culture. It's, like, something that maybe, like, ancients did as well. Also kind of funny, too, because then they just ended up worshipping themselves. It also makes sense, too, because of how Ember Taylor's family, right, was, like, experimented on by the Wraith. So she has that power, too. So maybe it's just because they were ancients or descended from ancients. Anyways, we can wrap this up. But yeah. I was going to say two tiny things. One, I was going to say, it's just so refreshing to see Elizabeth again, like, as a prominent figure in an episode, right? It's been so long since she's been, like, here for more than, like, 5 minutes. and she actually gets to do more than just be worried about the team. Like, she gets to, you know, she gets to actually be a leader and make decisions and stuff, and it's so refreshing. And I gotta say, I do love that for some reason Elizabeth's best lines are when she's, like, talking shit to Caldwell. Like, my favorite Elizabeth lines. Like, she's so cunty with him for some reason. She just, like, brings out all of these lines and, like, just she just gets his ass every time. It's so great. Like, there's just so many good ones where she's just, like, firing back at him. Like, she's so sassy. And I just love, I literally love when he shows up in episodes so she can gag him.
Slay queen.
And then another thing, too, I was just going to say, we didn't really talk about him that much, but Carson was there. So was Ronan.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Carson was kind of a supporting character for Taylor. I mean, it was sweet. I think, like, he didn't have a ton to do this, but he was there and he was kind of like, kind of supportive to a point, and then they also had their differences about the whole, like, oh, we can, like, prolong the life. But yeah, I think, no, he didn't do a lot, but also he didn't fuck up or anything. Like, commit war crimes. Not yet. But not again. So, yeah, it was sweet. But yeah, Ronan, he was kind of just there to be, like, menacing.
He was just John's sidekick.
Yeah. Yeah. It's disappointing.
Yeah. For me, it was, like, for Carson, has he never heard of a DNR before? I don't know why that was so, like, such a strange thing for him. I guess on a personal level, he just didn't agree, and that's why it was such a point of contention between them. But Ronan was just a whole lot of not a lot in this episode. I agree on that front. I do like his physical performance, like, during the torture scene and, like, in the background of Rodney putting in the code. Like, sigh of relief was really good. But that's all I can really say about Ronan in this episode. It's not really giving much of anything else.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah, I guess I can't really complain because, like, we've been asking for, like, an Elizabeth and Taylor sort of to take more, you know, prominent roles. And they did in this episode, which is great. But yeah, it's just not really a lot. And it's fine. You don't have to do, like, a character-based episode for every episode, right? But yeah, I feel like all the characters were just, you know, they were fine. Obviously, Taylor and Elizabeth, you know, get an extra little gold star. But I do feel like for example, like, Rodney was just kind of there as well. He was just Rodneying. It was just Rodney. Like, there's no complaints, I guess, really. John was just John. I think that's it.
Yep.
And now we will head over to Ash. Honestly, why? Why do we keep doing this to ourselves for the Bechdel test?
It's for episodes like this. Believe it or not, this episode passes. On several occasions, actually. So we have Taylor and Sharon. We have Elizabeth and Novak, and I think both on several occasions. So, yay! We did it!
Oh my gosh! Okay, I think I was just thinking about the lack of Taylor and Elizabeth scenes. That was sad. But everyone else interacted. Every other woman interacted.
Yeah. I was really excited. I was like, and it was quite early as well with Taylor and Sharon when I was like, oh, I'm going to write this down right now. The test passes, and then later it passed again, and I was like, oh my god, it's sad, but I'm so excited that two women are interacting, talking to each other. But yeah,
it's great. And then also because Cadman and Elizabeth have a few sort of talks as well.
Yeah, which is fine. It's been something as well. Yep.
Yeah. And then we can just pass it right back to Ash for all the behind-the-scenes stuff.
It's me again. Yes, so behind-the-scenes. Like, background info. The story of this episode is by Brett Wright and Carl Binder, and the teleplay is by Carl Binder. And the episode is directed by Andy Mikita. Now, for behind-the-scenes. An early draft of Critical Mass did not include Cadman, but instead a scientist named Dr. Allison Siegel, who was part of a subplot where McKay comes to her defense after Shepard begins to suspect her that she is the traitor.
Oh, that would have been interesting, because I feel like we would have gotten more of a, like, Rodney being a pacifist and, like, not wanting, like, interrogations and torture, etc. And then we could have this sort of difference in mentality between the Rodney camp and the John camp. I don't know. I'm all about that, like, moral conflict. I think that's super interesting.
Yeah, that would be really good, again, just to see them fighting. And again, it would have kind of tied into the, I guess, moral of the episode, right? With, like, the whole infighting thing. But also would have been really interesting because, wow, seeing Rodney defend, like, one of his scientists from John would have...
Oh,
that kind of hurts me in the best way possible.
I feel like it would have changed a lot, and maybe it was just too much to establish, like, this new character alongside with the whole fully fleshed out A and B plot and all the characters coming back. So maybe that's why they dropped this, but it would have been very interesting to explore.
Yeah, and I think it would have... Yeah, I think it would have added a lot to the episode. And maybe you would have had to, like, cut away some of the extra SGC scenes, right, to, like, kind of make time for more of it. But I like that it would have made Rodney a little more, you know, a part of this episode.
That too.
I mean, he would have been a part and caring. Also, I think it would have been fun, again. I mean, I'm just always here for John and Rodney fighting, which is not a good thing.
I love the angst, girl. We love it.
This is the first episode, the first and only episode of Stargate Atlantis to feature Gould, who, of course, are the primary antagonists during the first 8 seasons of SG-1. This episode shows that Caldwell has been under the control of a Gould for an unknown period of time, which could explain his hostile attitude in earlier episodes, but apparently he actually displays a somewhat friendlier effect after being freed. I guess we have a lookout for that. This episode shows that shooting a Gould with a taser can stun it enough for its host to regain control for at least a few minutes. As that was used for a similar effect on Chlorel in Scara's body in Within the Serpent's Grasp.
I forgot about that. Ooh.
Yeah, I think it's cool that they brought it back, but differently, like Atlantis style.
Yeah.
I feel like it's more crude. Like, have the phaser, no. instead of the Zan, but yeah. So, I don't know if you mentioned that, but I think it's clear to all of us, but when Taylor sings in the ring ceremony scene, the actress Rachel Luttrell is actually singing. The song is Beyond the Night, which was written by Joel Goldsmith, who has composed the majority of the music heard at Stargate. It was also co-written by his sister, Ellen, which is cool. Yay, women. And in the audio commentaries, it is mentioned that Rachel had to fly to LA several times to record it until they found the right take for the show. Because I don't know if you know that, but Rachel is a trained singer. And so for the first, I think, at least the first take, or the first time they recorded it, was like very... it sounded like Rachel and not that much as Taylor. So they re-recorded it.
Oh my gosh, that's so fun. That's so cool. Because I feel like it is so interesting when she, like, talks, right? You always expect the Taylor voice to come out, and then you're like, oh shit, you're right. Like, she puts on a different voice for Taylor, like, a different way of speaking entirely. And so it's so cool that she had to, like, try to find that in the singing as well.
Yeah. Then there's a goof, kind of. Catman is in the United States Marine Corps, so her hair should either be cut like Carter's or tied up at the back rather than left hanging down when she's on duty. But both Carter and Woolsey have stated that the rules in Atlantis are a bit more relaxed. So it's a goof, but it can also be explained.
Just a bit more relaxed. Just a bit.
Just bad.
If they let John's hair like that, girl, everyone is free willy. Fuck it, just.
But it's because Joe's hair is just, it cannot be controlled. Yeah. Anyways, that's it for me.
Next, it is up to Tor for the thick rec corner.
Ooh. All right. So for this week, I was having a hard time deciding what kind of theme I was going to go for because this episode kind of has a lot going on. But I thought, why not do a trust-themed fic rec this week? So fic that are Stargate Atlantis, but also have to do with the trust. So my first pick for this week is called Electric. It's by the infamous, awesome Dead Cake. And it's set in season 5. Basically, Rodney and John are earthbound and they get mixed up with the trust. So a lot of intrigue, a lot of fun pseudo spy stuff. It's a short one too, so if you want a little fun romp, that one is a great one to read. Something on the lengthier end of the spectrum and a little more dark, shall we say, is Judas Doesn't Answer by Auburn, and it's another trust in Atlantis fic that's also a murder mystery fic, and also, like this episode, an SG-1 crossover as well. So, I will warn that there is a major character death warning on this fic having to do with the murder mystery. So, if you don't want an Atlantis character to die in your fic, I would not recommend you read it, but if you're a dark bitch like me and you like the angst and the intrigue and the espionage and the suspense, definitely give it a shot. It's a good one.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for those excellent recommendations. This sounds so fun. And I didn't even know that was, like, sort of a subgenre, like the trust in Atlantis. That's so cool. I'm into that. I'll definitely link that down below, and I'll probably check those out myself. So before we go, just want to go ahead and wrap up this episode and see how our rating for this episode are. I can go first, because I actually wrote it down. I'm trying to, like, write down the ratings when I do my watches so I don't forget, because sometimes we come up here and we have a hard time sort of giving the episode an actual number rating. So I gave it a 7.5, which I think is not bad. I enjoyed parts of it, did not love parts of it, but I do think I have a fonder memory of it now than I did before. And I think for what saves the episode for me is, again, just how much Elizabeth and Taylor there is after being in a drought of the girls. I'm just happy we have them back for at least an episode.
Yeah. So, as I mentioned, I love this episode. I love it for the cast, I'm just gonna say, because there's so many, all the guest characters, all the most of the main characters having something to do. I feel like it does feel like a team episode, although Taylor and Carson are split up. As always, I love the dynamics. I love the whole story. I think, to me, it's very compelling, and to have, like, this little tie-in with SG-1, I actually really like that. The only thing I think I have to criticize maybe is that I felt like sometimes it felt a bit rushed, and that it would have been fun as a two-parter, just to give the story more time, some time to breathe, and to maybe make the sum of parts more impactful, maybe. I kind of want to give it just a 10 out of 10. Besides that.
I'm going to go in the middle and I'm going to say 8.5 out of 10. Because all the reasons above, honestly, it was such a fun romp of an episode. Really fast paced. Felt like mostly everybody had something to do and a role to play. It was really fun to see side characters in what is supposed to be an ensemble cast show really shine. Again, like you were saying during the episode, Sam, like all the callbacks to season one really felt like we were watching a continuous show, which I like. Yeah, not much else to say. The characters were really fun. I really am glad that we got to see more of Taela, especially, and her heart in this episode. That was really important to me. And yeah, so 8.5.
I feel like this is one of the episodes where our opinions differ the most, like from the rating.
Weirdly,
I I think they're usually closer together.
Definitely.
Yeah. Weird, too, because it's such like a... I never would have pictured that this would be the episode to, like, divide. Like, it's just so random.
Yeah.
Well, those are all of our ratings. And so be sure to check out all of our social media links down below in the description box. You will find links to our personal, so you can see what we're doing during the week. And you'll also find links to our Jumping Puddle stuff, so we can keep you updated on when episodes drop. And also, if you want to check out those fics, of course, they're always linked in the description box as well. So, thanks for hanging out with us today.
Bye!
Bye!
All right, you clowns, listen up. I don't often get a chance to say this, so savor it. Good work, boys and girls.
Let's go home.